We will have our quarterly business meeting after church. And also, I think she's healing well, but you need to continue to remember Patsy. She had an operation on Thursday. Let's pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful for your love and your mercy. We're thankful that we serve a living God, majestic, loving and caring, very patient and tolerant with us. Father, our minds cannot comprehend that kind of God. But we know that we're yours because you've chosen us to belong to you. We thank you for our Savior, the High Priest in heaven, pleading on our behalf so that we are always acceptable to you through what he did on the cross on our behalf. So, Father, it is the highest privilege that we have as human on this planet to be able to have what you think and what you have stated in written form, that we can study them and know precisely how to function in order to please you on this planet. So we request now that the Holy Spirit, the perfect communicator, will enable us to hear precisely what you want us to hear this morning. That is our request in Christ's name. Amen. We are in Ephesians 6, verse 18, but I'm really going to... We have dealt with the first part that says, I pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. That we dealt with last week. So this week we'll pick up the second part of that verse, which says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So really the issue here is alertness in the spiritual warfare. Alertness. Now success or victory in the spiritual warfare requires that the believer be equipped with this right spiritual armor that consists of defensive and offensive weapons. However, the Holy Spirit through Apostle Paul mentioned two actions that should accompany both equipping oneself with spiritual armor and in actual withholding one's ground in the spiritual warfare. The first action is praying, as we considered in our study last week. Now, prayer is so important in the spiritual warfare that even the second action that the apostle gives us is also related to prayer, as we will note at the appropriate time. Now, the second action then that should accompany both equipping oneself with the spiritual armor and the actual withholding one's ground in the spiritual warfare is being spiritually vigilant. Being spiritually vigilant or alert. As conveyed at the beginning of the second sentence then of Ephesians 6 verse 18 of the NIV that reads, with this in mind be alert. Of course, I've written out the literal translation because that's what I'm going to be referring to throughout this study. Now, this translation of the NIV and that of many of our English versions make it difficult to see that being spiritually alert is that which accompanies both equipping oneself with spiritual armor and in actual withholding one's ground in the spiritual warfare. Now, to see this second action, we have stated, requires a consideration of the literal translation of the Greek expression that reads, and see, it begins in the Greek, and to this, keeping alert. That's what I wrote down here, and to this, keeping alert. And to this, keeping alert. So this literal translation reveals that the rendering of the NIV, or that of most of our modern English versions, is interpretative. I mean, granting, translation is usually interpretative, but sometimes we have a little more interpretation in some of the English versions. Now, so this is what is conveyed. They are being interpretative, has conveyed them with that phrase, with this in mind, and the command, be alert. Those are very interpretative. Now, thus, it's essential to consider how the literal Greek should be interpreted. See, we have the literal reading, then we're going to see what is how to understand it. So, we begin with the phrase, with this in mind, of the NIV, that literally reads from the Greek, and to this. Again, that's what I have here on the screen, and to this. Now, the interpretation of the literal phrase, of course, hinges on two words, and the word this, and this. In effect, the problem of interpretation of the phrase boils down to how should we interpret the Greek word translated and how should we understand what this refers in the passage? What is it referring? Now, the conjunction and is translated from a Greek word with several usages. For example, it can be used to introduce a result that comes from what precedes, in which case it may be translated and so. It can be used to explain what goes before it, and so may be translated that is or namely. It may also be used as a marker of an additive relation which is not coordinate. By coordinate we mean, of course, equal in rank or significance to what precedes it. So with a preceding clause, and so may mean in addition. So the Greek particle or word can mean in addition and also. In our context, some of our English versions, although not stated directly, imply that the Greek conjunction is used in the sense of explanation, because they translate the rest of the sentence of verse 18 in such a way that implies that the apostle was simply elaborating on the action of prayer he mentioned in the first sentence of the verse. Now, this approach, notwithstanding, the meaning of the Greek conjunction in the literal phrase "and to this" seems to be that of "in addition." Instead of just saying "and," it should be "in addition." So that's what we believe should begin that second sentence of verse 18, "in addition." So this makes sense considering the fact we indicated that Ephesians 6:18 began with a Greek preposition that we stated is used in the sense of attendant or prevailing circumstance with the meaning with, to state the actions that will accompany both equipping self with the spiritual armor and in actual withholding one's ground in the spiritual warfare. Hence, we contend that the Greek word translated "and" in the literal translation I gave you when I say "and to this" is one that gives additional action to the prayer that will accompany successful equipping of oneself with spiritual armor and actual holding of one's ground in the spiritual warfare. Now, the second problem of the literal phrase "and to this" concerns, as I said, the pronoun this. So the problem is to determine what it refers in the context. This is a pronoun. In this case, of course, relative. So there are two possible interpretations. In other words, this could be referring in addition to this. So this could be referring to the action of prayer that is mentioned in the first sentence of Ephesians 6 verse 18. That's one. Or it could refer to the entire spiritual armor that the apostle discussed in verses 14 to 18. Now, these are two possibilities. Again, this is why we do studying, so that you understand when I gave you all the possibilities, then if you ever run into people, you can hopefully you can defend yourself. So here, is he referring to the entire thing that goes from verses 14 through 18, or is he referring to what just mentioned in verse 18? Now, see, both interpretations fit the context. But because prayer was the last mentioned action in the first sentence of verse 18, and because the apostle continued to elaborate on prayer in what follows, it seems more likely that the pronoun this refers to prayer that accompanies the spiritual armor the apostle had discussed in the first part of the verse. So this will refer to the prayer that we studied last week. Now the additional action then that should accompany both equipping oneself with the spiritual armor and in the actual withholding one's ground in the spiritual warfare is being spiritually vigilant or alert. Now the NIV describe this action in a command, because you look at what you have, you say, be alert, be alert. Although the literal Greek reads, unto this, keeping alert. That's what I have here, on the keeping alert. That's what the Greek reads, literally. So the literal translation is because we have a Greek participle that is subject to various interpretations. Now again, a participle is what we call a verbal adjective. A word that can either in one context become a verb and another time it be acting as an adjective. In this case, when we have them, especially when we have it acting in the verbal sense, it will have so many interpretations in the Greek. In other words, there are several things that could come from one participle. Now, most of our English versions translate the Greek participle as a command, including the English versions such as the New American Standard Bible and the English Standard Version that are usually literal in their translation. But here they fail to do so. Now, this is not to say that there are no exception though to this approach, since the authorized version, that's the King James Version, and the Lexham English Bible were literal in their translation. In other words, they followed what I just wrote to you, but they're using different way to do that. Now see, those who very seriously, when there's some English Bible that they have footnotes, but some of them are not as useful as others. But the translators of the New English Translation usually have excellent footnotes. Usually. So, the translators of the New English Translation, the first edition, are aware of this problem that they gave the footnote that reads. Now, I'm going to quote you. One of the, why I would do these things is, generally, as I've told you, when I finish my own study, my own interpretation, I go see what translators or other commentators say. So here, quoting them, this is what they wrote in their footnotes, it reads, both, in quote, pray, and, in quote, be alert, are participles in the Greek text. Parentheses, praying, being alert. See, they are translating the participle literally. Now, both are probably instrumental, loosely connected with all of the preceding instructions. As such, they are not additional commands to do, but instead are the means through which the prior instructions are accomplished. End of quote. So you see, I'm not the only one that saw that. Now, so it is our interpretation then that the Greek participle should not be translated as a command. Now, there are at least three reasons for this assertion. First, the apostle twice used the imperative with another Greek word that is similar to the one used in Ephesians 6 verse 18 to indicate when he wants the hearers to be vigilant. See, he used it, that's as Luke reported it, he used it in addressing the elders of the Ephesian church regarding being vigilant, as it is reported in Acts chapter 20 verse 31. Acts chapter 20 verse 31. Now this is what Luke reports, where the apostle used a very similar word that we have in our passage. Acts 20 verse 31 reads, "So be on your guard." Similar word has been alert. Be on your guard. Now that's a command. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now, when I read that, some of you don't realize I do that. I just don't always, it's not that I'm crying, but it's always with tears that I keep trying to get many of us to be who we were supposed to be in Christ. Again, he used the imperative in his instruction to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. First Corinthians chapter 16 verse 13 reads, "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong." Now, if the apostle used the imperative with related Greek word to the one he used in Ephesians 6:18, when he clearly meant to issue a command, then it is difficult to see the reason he would have not used the imperative or the command in Ephesians 6:18, especially as he addressed the elders of the Ephesian church using the imperative of the Greek word that means being alert. Thus, we are compelled to take the view that the apostle did not want the participle that he used in Ephesians 6 verse 18 to be understood as a command. Now again, remind us that you may wonder, okay, yeah, if that's the case, why wouldn't all of those do that? Well, many times, just because some majority says something doesn't mean it's right. That's one thing. And the other point I've mentioned to you is sometimes our translators become commercialized. You say, what do you mean? Well, what I mean is this. They are very aware that there's a translation that may not sell. In other words, if you have a translation that is so far away from the King James Version, for example, people say, oh no, that's not the Bible. And they run away from it. For that reason, even when they know, they know clearly this shouldn't be translated that way, they still do that in order to keep up with what has already been existing since 1611. So you have to remember that. But we're not here to do that. We're not selling anything. So we have to put it the way we believe the New Testament says it. So that's the reason we do not believe, for one thing, this should be a command. Second, the apostle, in a similar situation of prayer, could have commanded being alert, but instead he used a Greek participle to imply being alert is connected with prayer. That is something that is associated with prayer in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. He reads, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Of course, the word devote is from a Greek verb that is related to the Greek noun the apostle used in Ephesians 6:18, that means preservation, that we'll get to at the appropriate time. Meanwhile, though, the expression being watchful, that's a participle. It's one that expresses the circumstance that accompanies prayer or the way prayer is to be conducted, although some English versions, such as the today's English version, consider it to be a command. The point is that if the apostle wanted to issue a command regarding being alert in Ephesians 6 verse 18, there is no reason for him not to do so. He could have just given it all straight. Third, the rule of Greek grammar, as we indicated last week, I spent time just to go about that, and I said, I know some of you got lost. But if you went back and re-listened, you got it, I hope. So, from the rule of Greek grammar, as we indicated, when we consider the issue of participle, then we translated last week, in terms of praying, we said praying, suggesting that we should not use imperative, since being alert can be related to a clear command, either stand firm of verse 14 or take of verse 17. So that's what we argued last week. So that we shouldn't translate it pray, because we have a clear finite verb or commands that they can be related to. Based on these reasons then, we reject the interpretation that translates the Greek participle as to be alert. In other words, we say it is not a command. So, we have argued then that the Greek participle that literally reads being alert, should not be interpreted as a command. So, how should we interpret it? If I say it shouldn't go down, then what is it? Well, it is to be interpreted as a participle of means. A participle of means. Now, this means that a participle is used as a means of accomplishing a command given in the context. Specifically, the command given in Ephesians 6 verse 14 when it says, and stand firm. Now, this interpretation makes sense if we read the command given in verse 14 with portion of verse 18. Because I'm saying that's what's governing. Because all in between all that, except for one or two places, they're all participles. So if we read it that way, this is what it will be. And again, remember, although we have verses in our English versions, the Greek and the Hebrew texts do not have verses. Those were introduced by Professor Langston. But those things are things that help us to relate with each other. But if I give you a Greek text, it runs all together. There are no verses breaking and anything. So Bear that in mind. See what I will read. If verse 14, if I read verse 14, beginning with, stand firm. And then I ignore whatever is in between and then write and read, by being alert. Stand firm by being alert. So you can see that yes, it is related to that command. Stand firm by being alert. So in effect then, to hold one's ground in the spiritual warfare, the believer, in addition to using the defensive and offensive weapons mentioned, and what accompanies it, praying, needs to remain spiritually alert or vigilant. That's what should accompany it. That you be alert. That you be vigilant. That is the issue. That's all we're going to talk about this morning, really. To be alert. To be vigilant. So the question then that we really need to consider, what does it mean to be alert? What does that mean? To answer this question, of course, we need to consider the Greek word translated alert in our passage. It is a word that literally means to keep oneself awake. To be awake. I hope no one is struggling, but some of you may be struggling to be awake this morning. So that's the Greek word. The Greek word means to be awake. But it is used figuratively, though, in the New Testament. So then it may mean to be vigilant, to be alert. It is the word that is used for Jesus instructing believers to be vigilant or alert with respect to his second coming in Mark chapter 13, verse 33. Mark chapter 13, verse 33. It reads, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. In other words, he said, be alert of his second coming. Well, of course, we all know this one fact. None of us knows when he or she is going to leave this planet. That's something we don't know. It can happen any time. We don't know. So God has not given you a date and said, on this day you will depart. No, he didn't do that. So we don't know. So we have to be alert, be prepared that it can come any time. Now, not only is it used in relation to the second coming, it is used in the context of being alert with respect to a threatening danger, as it is used with the meaning always on the watch by the NIV in the context of the coming destruction of Jerusalem that Jesus predicted in Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Luke 21, verse 36. It is, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Now, the word can mean to be alertly concerned about someone in the sense of looking after the person, as the word is used with respect to the concern of spiritual leaders over those they lead, as we read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It reads, Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch. That's a Greek word. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Now, I can tell you, honestly speaking, how much I agonize over this congregation because of this. I recognize I have to give an account to the Lord for each of you. So that's why, you know, if you get angry with me, I don't care. If you go astray, I will rebuke you in my own way through the scripture, of course. So that is to make you know that I'm aware. I should be concerned about you. And all the spiritual leaders in this congregation should have the same sense I'm talking now. Because you are looking over this congregation. And you should be concerned. And don't be, you know, concerned about, we're not politicians. And we're not here to impress anyone. But because we know we're going to stand before the Savior and give an account. Then, of course, you as a believer has that responsibility. You have the responsibility to be very careful that you respond. Because if you don't, you make our work difficult and the Lord will deal with you. He says, that's why he says, obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that will be of no advantage to you. So in our passage then of Ephesians 6 verse 18, the meaning is that of being alert or being watchful in a spiritual sense. Now this means that a means of holding one's ground in the spiritual warfare is to be vigilant or watchful or being on guard so as not to be overcome by satanic forces. You'll be vigilant. Now, I don't know. I mean, just those who have been in the war for you know that. If you have been in the foxhole, you know that. You don't sleep. It's not a question of, oh, I'm dozing off. No, because you know the enemy is around you and they can be firing any time. So when you're in that foxhole, it's hard to sleep because you're vigilant. You don't know what's going to come next. So that's what he's telling you and I as believers. We are being told that we should be, like what they call, focus, zero in. Be alert every moment, everything that you do every day, every moment. Be alert that the enemy is right there punching you, punching me. That we should be alert. We shouldn't relax. We have to know that. Until we understand that we're in a warfare. And I think sometimes we study this and some of us go home and that's the end of it. Yeah, I know we're in spiritual warfare. But from moment to moment, we don't act as if we do know that. We are in a spiritual warfare. And so when he's telling us to be alive, that means know that your enemy is lurking around all the moment, trying to undo you. So we have to be alert. Now the apostle did not state what one is to become vigilant about, but the entire context of the scripture enables us to know what this vigilance in the spiritual warfare concerns. It is concerned with being alert with respect to the things against satanic forces will throw to the believers in order to distract us from the truth, and so we become victims in the spiritual warfare. Casualties. It's not as you die. Get wounded. Not everyone who goes into the war battlefield dies. But many come out wounded. So it is because of this truth, though, that the Holy Spirit, through Apostle Peter, warns believers against Satan in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8.
He reads, "Be self-controlled
and alert."
Now, what does self-control mean? It means, really, when you say be self-controlled and alert, really being self-controlled means be filled of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is what? Self-control. So if you lose yourself, I mean, if you can't control yourself, don't ever think you ever feel of the Spirit. You're not. When you are filled of the Spirit, you'll be in total self-control. But that's what God wants us to be in, because if we don't do that, the enemy takes hold of us. Because say, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, you remember, I mean, most of you have seen that, when they used to show those animal things in Africa and all that. When lions are hunting, what do? Usually they see, a herd of whatever it is. They focus to see which of them is the weakest. And that's when they bounce on. Now, do you know what that means? That's exactly what the devil does to all of us. Right now, he's circling around. Even as I'm speaking, he's circling around now to see those who are very vulnerable. And now he will attack you. So you can stay here for the rest of the day. I don't know what's going on. Even though you're sitting here and don't know what's going on. Because he got you. So that's just why he says he's roaring, like, waving around all the time, seeking to see where we are vulnerable so he can attack. And all of us should know where we are always vulnerable. If you don't know it, you don't know anything about your spiritual life. You should know that. And we started, that's what we said, understand those things that always you fall into, always, to be on guard against us. So that's what we have here. Anyway, as we have said, the Holy Spirit, through Apostle Paul, elaborated on what is involved in vigilance, or the means of this vigilance, but not what the vigilance is about. Therefore, we need to consider some of the things believers should be vigilant about with respect to the spiritual warfare. There are certain things we should be vigilant about. A believer should be vigilant with respect to the Word of God in the sense of paying close attention to it. Now, see, satanic forces have ways of trying to distract believers from the Word of God. They have ways. Therefore, believers should strive to be alert with respect to the Word of God to ensure that they are not distracted from learning and applying it. Now, one thing I can, in order to explain this, elaborate on it, is this. See, the enemy knows he will try to find a way to keep you from Bible study, from church. He will do that. And he will very rarely will he do it with a reason that if somebody hears, will say, yeah, you're right. That's what Mission Church is about. Our Mission Bible study. Yeah, he gives you that kind of reason. And you buy it. But you'll still be wrong. Because you're disobeying God. You're not recognizing that's what he's doing. The other part of this, of course, he also has his other aspect, which is something that I say we all should be very careful about. That is, you can learn all this, and you never applied it. In that case, you know better than somebody who have never had anything taught to him or her. It's no difference. And this is why I've said many, many times, one of the things that bugs me, that disturbs me, that causes me pain about this congregation is the fact that we learn these things and we tell people we go to a Bible teaching church. Then when they look around us, listen to us, or see us do everything, and we say, well, we go, in their mind, they say, And so what? That's no difference between you and me who don't go. That's the way they say. So that is why it's important that you and I understand that there are two parts, learning applying. If you learn it, you can shoot all you want to people. It has no impact.
If you just say, well, I can say it, it's just you get a good rifle or whatever, you load all the ammo and load it, and you admire it. And you tell somebody, this is a deadly thing. You say, yeah, I know.
Yeah, right. Because you never fire it. If you never fire it and let it drop on something and say that it's deadly, they don't believe you. That's why you and I must be careful in this being alert.
So that about the word of God, so we focus on learning and applying it. Now it is because, of course, of the necessity to be spiritually vigilant with respect to the word of God that the Holy Spirit enabled Moses to warn Israel about God's word in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 reads,
only be careful and watch yourselves closely. Why? So that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them.
Now, Israel is here being warned of forgetting the experience in Mount Sinai, where God appeared to them and spoke to Moses. They were encouraged to pass their experiences that include their covenant with God and His requirement to their children, because such experiences are necessary for sustained reflection on God's work. This being the case, spiritual vigilance requires believers to ensure that they reflect on their salvation experience as well as what God has done for them in their spiritual journey. You need to continue to think about what God has done for you in this journey that you have. So it's not difficult for believers to forget what God has done for them so that they may start to go astray in their commitment to the Lord. Therefore, spiritual vigilance requires, first and foremost, that believers then do not ignore the word of God and what God has done for them with respect to their salvation. If you really understand that. Now, each time, it's very difficult to think about. It really hurts to think about that a human being is going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. It's something that any time I'm studying, I'm thinking about, or any time I think, it hurts that a human being will be in a total darkness. And when I say total darkness, that's the best way to describe the complete absence of God's favor or anything from God. Just think about that state. Now, if you truly understand it, and you know that you have been pulled away from that, that's never going to happen to you. It will seem to me that you will appreciate the one who did it for you. And if you really think about it, you then will be devoted to Him. And therefore, you will not be pulled away from your commitment to the Lord. Therefore, then, again, it is important that remain focused on the Word and don't be distracted and think about what God has done for you. Furthermore, it is because of the importance of being vigilant with respect to God's word that the Holy Spirit gave the instruction we have through the human author of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2,
verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 reads, "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we heard, so that we do not drift away." Now this instruction is given for those who have heard the word of God, especially people like us in this congregation. So the instruction is for believers to be spiritually vigilant to avoid drifting away, that is to avoid being in a state where the word of God diminishingly affects a person. That is the word I used. Diminishingly affects a person. So you see, no believer who is mindful of his or her spiritual life will give up what he or she believes. But if he or she does not pay attention to truth and be devoted to it, then it's a matter of time before this believer starts ignoring that which the person previously learned, becoming careless and lax with spiritual matters. He will gradually forget to apply certain truths from the Word of God. And eventually, he will come to the state where he was before his salvation in terms of his experience. In other words, the believer will come to a state where the word of God no longer affects him or her or controls his action. It is this the Holy Spirit through the human author of Hebrews was concerned should not happen. So in effect, we're saying that the drifting away is gradual diminishing influence of the Word of God on a person's life because the individual gradually forgets the Word of God. Now, as a pastor, I'm greatly concerned about believers in this congregation regarding this point, that is, that you are not in a state where by whatever we study no longer affects you. In other words, you hear them, but they don't really mean any more thing to you. You become immune to it. You hear it, but it does nothing to you. It doesn't crush you. It doesn't cause you to come to a repentant mind. It doesn't, nothing. You hear it, okay. That to me, a believer, is a very dangerous place to be, because very soon, diminishingly, you're going to enter into a position where you expose yourself to real danger on a spiritual warfare. And at that point, you know that you're begging for God's judgment. So every believer should be spiritually vigilant to ensure that the word of God is not neglected, as that will delight all satanic forces. Now we can understand why, if a believer neglects the word of God, satanic forces will be delighted. Now this is because, as we have already noted, the word of God is a believer's offensive and also defensive weapon. So if Satan can get a believer to be lax with the word, with respect to the word of God, this then guarantees that such an individual will not be successful in the spiritual warfare. Hence, it is important that every believer should be spiritually vigilant with respect to his or her attitude towards the word of God, monitor yourself consistently to ensure that you never slack off in your devotion to the Lord. You must do that. No other person can do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. That's just the nature of the things. So related to being vigilant with respect to the Word of God is that of being vigilant to ensure that the believer is not trapped with false teaching. Now, false teaching presents great danger to the spiritual life of the believer that the Lord Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, warned against false prophets in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Matthew
chapter 7, verse 15. It reads,
"Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." In other words, today, those pastors who, oh man, they're so sweet. It's almost like the sugar from them is just dripping everywhere. They're so sweet. In the end, they don't tell you the truth. But they are, you know, have this mannerism that, oh yeah, I just love him. He's so sweet. I don't know what that means, but the truth of the matter is, that may be a wolf in sheep's clothing. Because when you don't tell people the truth, you don't give them the truth, you really part of destroying them. Anyway, Apostle Paul, addressing the elders of Ephesians, or the Ephesian church, encouraged them to be alert so they can guard against false teachers. As recorded in a passage as I started before, but we'll pick up one more verse from it. Acts chapter 20, verses 30. But now we go to 31, sorry. Acts chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Let me just go ahead. Acts 20, 30 through 31. It is, "Even from your own men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." Now similarly, the apostle encouraged the Corinthians to be spiritually alert in a passage that I cited previously, of course. That's also 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. This passage. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. It is, "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage and be strong." Now the command, "Be on your guard," may alternatively be rendered, "Be on the alert." Be on the alert. Now as in the passage of Ephesians 6 verse 18 that we are considering, the apostle did not specify about what the Corinthians should be alert, leading to different interpretations as to what the spiritual vigilance is concerned. Now, this notwithstanding, the context of the command indicates that the apostle was wants the Corinthians to be alert with respect to anything that will destroy the truth he taught them. Now, the implication then is that believers should guard against false teaching, as that can affect adversely the spiritual life of the believer. So that it is not surprising that the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Peter, indicates that false teaching is quite destructive, as we see in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Second Peter, Second Peter chapter 2, verse 1 reads, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Now, heresies here are false teaching of the false teachers, and so they are what the apostle asserts to be destructive. So anyway, false doctrine is destructive in the spiritual life of the believer. Therefore, a believer should remain alert and to ensure he is not led astray by false teaching. That is, any teaching that is contrary to the scripture or that denies the person and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, add to that is the fact that, yes, there are many, many who teach, but all they teach is something that is palatable to the congregation. Not the word. Because they don't want to make anyone mad. You know, as they say, so much, well, I don't want to drive them away. Why are you having them? It's better to have 8 devoted believers in a congregation than to have thousands that have no impact. Now, so the believer who remains alert with respect to false teaching is one who learns the apostolic doctrines given in the scripture. Now, another object of spiritual alertness, of vigilance, that is necessary to be victorious in the spiritual life is the believer's lifestyle. A believer who is going to be successful in the spiritual warfare must be careful regarding his or her lifestyle. So we are saying that holding one's ground in the spiritual warfare requires that a believer should pay close attention to his or her lifestyle, as the satanic forces are interested in making the believer a liar. See, they are interested in doing that. See, satanic forces, they are aware that we do not stand before God on the basis of our merit. They know that. But that we stand on the merit of Jesus Christ. But that does not keep them from attacking us. They know they could not make any headway by bringing our failures to God, because the Lord Jesus Christ advocates for us before the Father. They know that. Of course, that doesn't keep them from doing it. They still do it. Therefore, they focus then on making us liars to unbelievers. In other words, they strive to focus unbelievers' attention on our lifestyles as Christians to make us appear hypocritical, because we do not live up to who we are in Christ. Now, to ensure that a believer does not become an object of ridicule by unbelievers, there's needed to pay close attention to one's lifestyle. Consequently, you should watch out for sin in your life. Now, lifestyle of the believer has been addressed in several ways by the apostle in this epistle to the Ephesians, such as how believers are to interact with each other, with their families, and with the world, so as to reflect that they are believers in Christ. Certainly, the apostle would want believers to be vigilant to carry out the instructions that he had detailed in this epistle, so there will be no need to mention this all over. Nonetheless, there are 2 aspects of lifestyle that a believer should be vigilant about, that our Lord warned his disciples, and so to all believers. They are concerned with anything that affects the mind through what one consumes and worrying. Now, both aspects of lifestyle that a believer should be vigilant about are given in Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. And that's what we'll pick up after break.